That always happens to people on television before you go on stage as they fix your microphone on you.
Our first reading for today.
Turn it on.
Our first reading for today is from the book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 3 to 9. Hear the word of the Lord. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a very good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
And Paul's account of the Last Supper, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For this morning's sermon, I have written a conversation between Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and Philip, the disciple of Jesus. Several years have passed since the first Easter, and they are reflecting on what they remember of their times with him and how those memories affect their lives. What you hear today is almost entirely my creation. The Bible contains only a few references to Mary and Philip, and I have tried to be faithful to them, but I've also filled in gaps in the story in ways that just seemed right to me. I decided that Mary and Philip are friends, and that both of them were present at the dinner in Bethany when she anointed Jesus, and at the Last Supper in the upper room. Of course, Philip remembered those meals as one who was at table with Jesus, and Mary remembered them as one who helped serve the meals. I'm really grateful to Jean Foley for helping me this morning in presenting this sermon.
"Good afternoon, Philip. Thank you for coming to visit me. I heard that you and Bartholomew had returned from preaching in Greece, and I really was hoping to see you."
"Mary, I'm so glad we could get together. I love traveling and telling people about Jesus, but it's always good to be home with friends. How are Martha and Lazarus?"
"They're both doing fine. Martha is just as busy as always, and Lazarus, well, he cherishes every moment of his life as a gift, although sometimes I think he gets tired of being a celebrity as a person Jesus raised from the dead."
"My sister, Mary Amney, said to say hi to you." She has been such a help as we have traveled around preaching the gospel. Often our best opportunities to invite people to join us in following Jesus come when we're sharing a meal. And so Bartholomew and I talk to the men, and Mary Amney goes back in the kitchen and talks to the women.
I often remember the wonderful meals we had with Jesus. When I put food on the table and begin the meal with thanksgiving, I'm reminded of all of the times we sat together and listened to the amazing things Jesus said.
You know, I don't think you were there, but I'm sure you've heard about that evening when we fed the huge crowd. There were thousands of people there, and it was getting late. Jesus asked me where we were going to get food for them. I said, all the money we've got wouldn't be enough to buy that much food. So there was a boy nearby who had brought 5 little loaves and 2 dried fishes. Jesus asked the boy if he could use them, and then he prayed to God, and that food became enough to feed everybody. It was unbelievable, unless you were there.
Oh, I believe it. Of all the amazing things Jesus did, that one had the most witnesses. Philip, do you remember the time when I anointed Jesus' head with perfume? We were guests in the house of Simon the leper here in Bethany. I never have been quite sure why I did that, but at the time, I just knew I had to do it.
Oh, I remember. I had seen you coming and going as the meal was served, and then you walked up behind Jesus and began to rub that wonderful-smelling perfume into his hair. You know, looking back, I think that was the last time that anyone ever touched Jesus with kindness, with love. That evening was really just a totally nice dinner. But afterwards, things got completely out of control. You know, I remember wondering at the time, where did you get that perfume?
It was my mother's. She wore it on special occasions when I was a little girl. But after she died, my father gave it to me. I couldn't wear it anymore. It made me too sad. So that night that Jesus was with us for dinner, after dinner was served, I realized that I could use that perfume to make Jesus happy. I am so glad I did that.
There are 2 things I really recall vividly from that dinner. One was the way you got scolded by several of the disciples, saying that that perfume should have been sold to feed the poor, especially Judas. He got mad, and I think he stomped out, didn't he? The other thing I will never forget is what Jesus said to you. Do you remember that? He told the disciples who were giving you a hard time to leave you alone because what you had done was a good thing, anointing his body while he was still alive. And then he said that whenever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what you did will be remembered.
You know, what he said has actually become true. I am quite well known as the woman who anointed Jesus' head, and also as the woman who refused to help my sister Martha fix dinner when Jesus was visiting our house.
So was it the next night or the night after that we met in the upper room for the Last Supper before Jesus died?
I don't remember a lot of details from that week. What I do remember is we were all so scared. Jesus was the only one who seemed to understand everything that happened. I remember the morning when Peter and John told me and the other women to prepare for Passover. We bought the best wine we could find because we knew it would be a special meal.
I really had to hurry to get there because I was afraid I was going to be late. And I remember thinking what a nice room it was, very comfortable, lighted with oil lamps. And that wine you bought was really nice, and the food was perfect, but you could almost feel the tension in the room. I didn't know what was going on, but it was clear that Judas was really worked up over something.
I had just finished putting food on the table when Jesus sat down at his place and began the Passover meal. He gave thanks to God for the food, and then he broke the bread and passed it around. I couldn't quite hear what he had said about the bread. I now know that he said the bread was his body broken for us. But all the time, I knew that you disciples were really shocked.
And then, of course, it got worse. Were you still there when he confronted Judas? He said that one of us was going to betray him, and we all got really upset. But soon it became clear that he was talking about Judas. I had never seen Jesus so strong, so determined. Judas just withered before him and left.
I knew something awful had happened when I came back in the room to pour the last cup of wine. I never will forget the silence when Jesus lifted his cup and talked about a new covenant sealed by his blood.
No one spoke. No one knew what to say. And so then Jesus prayed the final prayer of Passover, and we all left.
The women and I were talking as we cleaned up, and we weren't sure what to think about what had happened and what Jesus had said. At the same time, it seemed to be a wonderful, holy time, and yet a time when the deepest evil any of us had ever felt was present.
And we disciples all felt that too, and we were just as confused.
It was only when Jesus appeared to us after he was raised and talked with us that we began to understand what happened that night and that next awful day.
I think we are all still trying to figure out the full meaning of that, what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross. It is certainly a most profound and wonderful mystery. But one thing we do know for sure, Jesus told us to gather at table and to share bread and wine in remembrance of him. And we can do that.
You know, Philip, I discovered something wonderful recently. When I remember Jesus, I experience a kind of healing. It happens on my roughest days. I remember all the hard things I've lived through. I think about all the pain in my life today and the worries about my future. I can feel really discouraged, almost ready to give up sometimes. But on those tough days, what can change me completely is to remember Jesus. And this healing, it's most powerful when I gather at the table with other believers and we break bread and drink wine together in remembrance of him. Then I remember the truth about God and the abundant way of life that Jesus taught us. I remember the cross and the empty tomb. And those memories, not the troubles of the day, become the foundation for my life.
You know, I hadn't thought about it in exactly that way, but that's true for me too. When a congregation full of new believers has gathered for worship, they have so many questions and uncertainties. It sometimes seems just overwhelming to teach them about Jesus and help them learn what it means to be his disciple. We talk and we pray, sometimes for hours, and I feel so tired. And then we gather at the table, and we share the bread and wine in remembrance of Jesus, and I feel restored. My exhaustion is lifted. My joy is renewed.
When he was here living among us, Jesus healed people every day. I think he knew that one day he would not be able to touch us with his hands or command our pains to leave us with his voice. Because he loves us, he told us to gather and remember him so we could find healing for our souls and strength for our lives.
Absolutely. He knew us so well. He understood that we would get busy with our lives and distracted with our cares. So he gave us the gift of a way to remember him, at table together, with bread and wine to share. What an amazing and wonderful gift that is.
You know, Philip, speaking of gathering to remember Jesus, it's about time for us to head down to Matthew's house for this evening's worship. It has been so good to talk to you.
Mary, it's been wonderful to see you too. Every time I eat bread and drink wine, I'm going to remember Jesus. And every time I smell wonderful perfume, I'm going to remember that evening when we gathered at table with Jesus and you showed him how much we all loved him.
Let us pray. Jesus, Lord of healing, we come together today to praise you and to remember you. While we gather here for worship, breaking bread and sharing your cup, we ask that you make your presence known in our lives. Like Mary's sister Martha, we lead such busy lives, and too often we forget you, and we forget the love you have for each one of us. We forget that you want us to live full and abundant lives. So today we ask for your healing in our bodies, our minds, our spirits, and we ask for your light to enter our hearts. When we leave here this morning, let us take the words with us that you first said to your disciples long ago. Remember me. Remember me. Remember me. We ask this in your name. Amen.